Macmillan Audio presents Assassin's Edge by Ward Larson. Read for you by PJ Oakland. One. On appearances, the two events could not have been more disconnected. In reality, they could not have been more intimately entwined. Raven 4-4 cut smoothly through thin air, floating effortlessly in one of the Earth's most hostile environments, the lonely sky above 70 degrees north latitude. As the big RC-135 skirted the northern border of Russia, the air outside registered 60 degrees below zero. At that temperature, water goes instantly to ice, and fuel in the wings must be constantly heated. The jet's cabin, of course, was warm and dry, aeronautical engineers having long ago conquered such environmental adversities. Other threats, however, were far less foreseeable.
"I've got an intermittent strobe bearing 340,
announced Staff Sergeant Kyle Trask over the intercom. He was one of seven airborne systems operators manning workstations in the airplane's tunnel-like cabin.
"From the north, not landside?"
asked Major Tom Meadows, the mission commander who oversaw the sensor suites.
"North," confirmed Trask. "Looks like it's coming from 401. Really high power, broad spectrum, comes and goes. Haven't seen anything like it before."
The major rose from his own console, fighting stiffness from the long mission, and went to stand behind Trask. He studied the sergeant's display, which was a composite map of the surrounding area, a terrain relief of glacial coastline that hadn't changed in a million years, overlaid by airspace boundaries that hadn't existed when his grandfather was born. To Raven 4-4's left was the northern coast of Russia, the ice-rimmed frontier where the wilderness of Siberia met the Arctic Ocean. On the starboard side, there were no landmasses whatsoever, only sea and ice all the way to the North Pole. 30 miles ahead, however, Meadows saw dashed lines representing restricted-use airspace. Aptly named Danger Area 401, it was a 1,200-mile-long corridor that encompassed all the airspace from the sea's surface to outer space. DA-401 was used on rare occasions by the Russian military to conduct missile tests.
"Is it hot now?" Meadows asked.
"It is, sir. Went active a few hours ago."
"This is the first time I've seen it go live."
"I have a couple of times," Trask replied, "but it's pretty unusual."
He had been running the northern surveillance tracks longer than Meadows. DA-401 was exceptionally large, stretching hundreds of miles out to sea, and so it was rarely activated. Doing so impinged on highly lucrative commercial airline overflights. Yet both men knew an advisory had been issued days earlier, announcing its impending use. Indeed, this was probably why their mission had been moved up 12 hours. Headquarters wanted to see what the Russians were up to. Raven 4-4 was an RC-135W, a highly modified version of the venerable KC-135 tanker. The type had been in service with the Air Force since the dawn of the Cold War, and this particular jet had rolled off the production line in 1964, making it 20 years older than its oldest crew member. Yet, if the airframe was dated, its instrumentation was not. The jet had undergone extensive modifications 10 years earlier to become the cutting-edge platform known as Rivet Joint, and now the adopted child of the defunct Strategic Air Command was lurking along the borders of the old Soviet Union, much as it always had. Rivet Joint aircraft had a very specific mission. They trolled along the edges of hostile airspace, places like Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran, in the hope of capturing scraps of electronic intelligence, or ELINT. Radar emissions, telemetry data, communications intercepts.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?